Jill bounced out of bed. It was a beautiful morning, the first day of the summer holidays, and she was going to spend all morning riding Bluebell. Jill was sure this was the year she and her favourite pony would get the winner's rosette at the Bramley Gymkhana. But the stable was empty.
"Mummy," Jill asked, "where is Bluebell?"
Her mother took a good drag on her cigarette and rasped,
"I sold him to the animal research lab up the road
for 99p.
It's the 99p challenge! Yes, it is the 99p challenge, and I am labouring wearily under the name Sue Perkins. And did you know there is nearly enough energy contained within one episode of the 99p challenge to power a lemon? If you don't believe me, just put a lemon on top of the radio for the next 30 minutes, and by the time the Archers comes on, it will still be a lemon. Anyway, that's the power of radio, so jumpstart it by welcoming tonight's guests, Armando Iannucci, John Holmes, Marcus Brigstock and Simon Pegg. Super smashing and great. Now, let's get ready to rumble. We all hate poetry. That's just a given, isn't it? But pesky though it is, with its simile and assonance, occasionally it can be helpful. Sometimes rhymes can help you remember things. For instance, student house, then you can't hide from Mr. Carbon Monoxide. For this round, the contestants have to share their helpful rhymes. Simon, start us off.
If your chin is like no other, ask your dad if he's also your brother.
We've all been there, some of the good folk of Croydon. Now, nothing rhymes with either of the words Marcus or Brigstock, so has that been a problem for you, Marcus?
Yeah, I was trying to remember this one. Chili powder on your thumbs, think twice before you scratch your plums.
I certainly will remember that. Armando Iannucci, rhyme us a rhyme, if you will.
Right, useful one, this. Though trying to be cuddly and tempting to hug, Mad Frankie Fraser's a murderous thug.
Don't be fooled by his sweet little face and winning ways. He will nail your hand to something. That was lovely. John, what have you come up with?
It's a bit of advice, really. A Bailey's a day might mean you're gay.
And that rhyme also applies with taboo and mirage.
Yes.
Any more?
If head from neck are separated, smile, you've been decapitated.
If over dinner you fancy a fight, always remember the knife's on the right.
We always had this one with our family. Mayonnaise can kill, so keep it in the fridge, Aunt Jill. She was very clumsy with stuff like that.
If your girlfriend's left you and you're feeling stranded, do not fret, it's not the end, just try love single-handed.
Mayonnaise is quite the killer, so put it in the fridge or chiller, Aunt Jill, please.
Remember, when you cross the channel, the dirty French have no word for flannel.
A shifty stranger who can't stay long, check his bags for a dirty bomb.
Salmonella, salmonella, ooh, you are a foxy fella, hiding in the mayo jar like a silent murderer.
What is it with you and mayonnaise,
yeah,
man?
It's my Aunt Jill. She was just very dangerous for it. There are others. My driving instructor taught me this one for roundabouts. Just very good. Look ahead, then look to the right, then floor it, you nutter. You'll be all right.
Want poxy crashes and tarts wrestling in slime? Then Granada Men and Motors is on channel 139.
A stitch in time is probably an episode of Star Trek.
Filling your tax return is as easy as ABC if you can get hold of form 725Z3B33.
Please remember, don't forget, never leave the bathroom wet, nor leave the soap still in the water, that's a thing we never oughter, nor leave the towels about the floor, nor keep the bath an hour or more. Remember this and it's happy days, unless you die from mayonnaise.
Because you're all dense, I shall now give out pence. I'm going to give Armando and John 7p. I'm giving Simon 8p. And I'm going to give, for the constant use of the word mayonnaise, 10p to Marcus. 10p. We all believe things as a child which turned out not to be true. For instance, until I was 12, I thought Jimmy Savile was real. And I last week found out that not only is the Easter Bunny fictitious, so is the August Bank Holiday lemur. Panel, what did you believe as children? Armando.
I was told that if you accidentally sat on a Daily Express, you turned 40.
That is.
And how about you, John?
My parents always told me this. If I slept with my head under the pillow, the face fairy would come and take it and leave 20p in my exposed throat.
And what did the little Simon Pegg believe?
My beliefs were destroyed as a child, about Christmas particularly, because I remember when I was about 8 years old, and on Christmas Eve, Santa Claus came into my bedroom and told me that my dad didn't exist.
Do you now still leave a mince pie and a carrot for your dad?
Well, that's how we had to eat every day after that. You know what I mean? It was very frosty. I'd come home, he'd be sat behind the paper in his big red suit, and we didn't speak after that.
No, it's fair enough.
I also used to believe... It's cute, actually. I used to believe that mashed potatoes were actually large, vaporous clusters of condensed air shaped by isobaric pressure.
Marcus, what did you believe as a child?
Did anyone else believe that babies come from storks? Because if you did, I just want to point out, it doesn't stand up in the juvenile court case of London Zoo versus Marcus Brigstock.
My parish priest said I would go to hell if I didn't make steam come out of his magic train.
I used to believe that it was morally acceptable to allow the dog to lick jam off your knackers. I've got to say, it's something my dog believes even today. And who am I to interfere with a tradition that goes back?
My grandmother always told me that Graham Norton would be over by Christmas.
I always used to think the French drove on the other side of the road. It's mad.
I just remember a childhood memory. I overheard my mum telling my dad that her friend Sarah was frigid. And I thought that she had an icebox, which, if you think about it, she did.
At one point, when I was really young, incredible this is, though, I actually believed that clowns were entertaining. You idiot.
My mother always told me that if I didn't eat my vegetables, I would grow up to write the links for You've Been Framed.
I always believed that the mole on my great-aunt's face was actually a volume control. So, I tried to turn it down once and it just came off in my hand. I still got it. And she did shut up.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I always thought that burps went to burp heaven.
I haven't asked my friend permission for this, but she always tells her son, who's about 3, that the sound of an ice cream van means that they've run out of ice cream.
Is that not true? Okay, at the end of that round, John, you've got 80p. Marcus, you've got a staggering 82 pence. I'm going to give you 88p, Simon, and a great score for you, Amanda, at the end of this particular show. 99p! Except I was lying, and you've all got nothing. Now, absenteeism. It's a huge problem in Britain. Our offices and factories lose millions a day from it, while our schools are full of supply children. Phoned up that morning, just a cover for the kids are bunking off. So in this round, I want the contestants to celebrate the Great British Sickie by ringing me up with excuses for why they can't come in today.
Hi, Sue.
Yeah, hello.
It's Simon here. I can't come in today, the dog ate me.
Sue?
Yes, it is, yes.
Hi. I didn't wake up this morning because Simon's mum doesn't have an alarm clock.
What?
She does have one, but we broke it during sex.
Simon doesn't care. No. Hello?
Hi, Sue. So I can't come in today. I went back to my flat last night and found that my landlord had burst.
Well, I'm buying that one, definitely. Okay, any more excuses heading my way?
Yes.
Good Lord, man. Get out of my room and use the telephone.
Sorry. Yeah, Sue, I'm sorry. I don't think I can make it in. I'm waiting for an electrician to come, and he said he'll be here sometime between 9 a.m. and 2008.
Sue, hi. During the night, burglars filled my house with snakes and ladders. And I had to throw a 4 to get out of bed. And I hadn't got a dice.
Sorry, I'm not going to make it in, Sue. I've been towed away. Not my car, me. I was in a bus lane.
And you're at John's house as well.
Yeah, true, yeah.
The phone didn't ring.
Yeah. I've not really got the hang
of
the phone.
So you're at John's house with my mum?
In a way, yeah.
Simon, yeah. We've all had your mum.
Well, I haven't.
Hi, Sue.
Hello.
I just realised I can't make it. I left my skin at the gym.
Oh. If you hurry, they're still open.
Okay.
Hi, Sue.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. I couldn't come in this morning because I was watching you on The End of Rise.
Trust me, it is The End of Rise. And that headline will be in the Daily Express tomorrow.
Sue?
Yeah, hello.
Sorry, I'm not going to make it in because there's half an inch of snow and according to the tabloids, it's commuter chaos. Britain's come to a complete halt apart from one wacky knob who skied to work in the hope of making the regional papers.
Hi, Sue. I'm going to be late. I just got roped into an assisted suicide. Or alternatively... Hello, Sue.
Hello there.
Sorry, I'm not going to make it today. The Prime Minister's asked me to head up a task force looking into days lost at work due to illness. And from now on, you've got to call me the Malady Mussolini.
It'll be my absolute pleasure. Hello.
Hi, Sue. I'm not going to be making it in today because a thing fell out of the newspaper this morning saying that I may well have already won £50,000. So I don't think you'll be seeing me again.
Okay, excuses. Yes, they were. That was the point of the round, which we started 11 days and 45 minutes ago. At the end of that round, it's my absolute unmitigated pleasure to give 7 pence away to John, 8 pence to Marcus, I'm giving 11 to Simon, and 17 pence to Armando. We've all seen books. Walk past any branch of Waterstones and there'll be some in the window. Oh, see their bright colours and happy jackets. Well, in this round we're talking about reference books. Big, fat, useful ones. Like the Faber Book of Ludo Anecdotes. Or How Not to Patronise People for Dummies. So, what's been warping your shelves? First up, I think John...
I've got on my shelf that English to teenager, teenager to English dictionary. You know, because it's useful, because it's got every different way of saying, huh. Yeah. And it tells you exactly what means.
Yeah. Marcus, how about you?
Skellingtons and Chimbleys, a succinct and pacific guide to irritating mispronunciations.
Simon, what's your favourite book?
I have been perusing through the Puffin Book of Marijuana.
Perusing slowly, I imagine.
Yeah. And also Mannequins for Dummies, which is quite an interesting book.
That's all, I've got How to Test Airbags for Dummies, so...
Yeah. Oh, I've got Footballers' Wives for Dummies. Yeah. And Lee Boyer Made Simpler.
I've been looking through the really, really great Book of Sarcasm, which...
I tell you what I did enjoy, actually, was Bill Oddie's Other Uses for Binoculars.
Punk, Ancient and Modern? No?
The Massive Book of Tiny Ironies.
A compendium of Britain's pebbliest beaches. This is not funny or interesting.
The Massive Book of Tiny Ironies.
Even second time round, a lot funnier than mine.
The Rough Guide to Chesney Hawkes' Face. It's a dot-to-dot book.
I tell you what's very good. The Daily Mail Guide to Foreigners and Their Evil Plans.
Have you got the WWF Book of Mainland British Butterflies? A curious one with a cover featuring Hulk Hogan pointing to a damson butterfly, saying, "When I've examined every hair and hue on your tiny puny wings... you're going to be really identified, my friend."
So the Who's Whom? It's a kind of who's who for pedants.
So many books there. Personally, I like chick lit, but, you know, it's not to everyone's taste, is it? There's only so many stories about growing up on a battery farm that people can take. Let me award pence at the end of that round. I'm going to give Simon and Marcus 5p. I'm giving John 7p. And Armando's got 10p.
Yes.
Right. We're in an action film now. An action film with me in it, the first bespectacled woman. My loyal buddy of many years has been killed. No! And now I'm the prisoner of the baddie. You're all playing the baddie, and you're about to make the classic timeless baddie mistake by explaining your plans to me while I'm still alive. Right, John Holmsky, what kind of evil horror are you intending?
Be afraid, Perkins, for I've harnessed the power of the Wurzels. Soon I shall have in my grasp every key to every brand new combine harvester in the world.
Will you give me the key?
No.
You'll never get away with it. Simon Pegg, international man of everything. What is your evil plan?
I'm trying to think of something. When I press this aerosol can, the world will end. Oh, that's going to take a bit longer than I thought.
OK, Armando, you have the world at your fingertips, which means you have vast fingers. What are you going to perpetrate?
Ha! These two warheads are poised to hit Glasgow in 1 hour. They are made from papier-mâché, and the only thing that can stop them is rain!
It's a work of genius. No, sorry, I meant pathetic. And now, Brigstock of Doom.
Yeah, welcome, Perkins. I've been expecting you. I've made lasagna. Are you all right with red meat?
Ha! This thermonuclear device will cause a devastating radioactive explosion, which will flick a switch 50 miles from here, which will trigger the start of a timer. Oh, hang on, I've got all that the wrong way around.
I am Scaraminga, a Bond villain deemed unattractive by 14-year-olds, and Jade out of Big Brother. Soon, I shall release my poisonous cloud of text messages.
Ah, Miss Perkins, I am Lord Clark from the planet Strunvest, and I intend to destroy your putrid little planet, the so-called Drantee.
This is Earth.
Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Bye.
Bye.
Sorry, I was just thinking about the joke before.
All I have to do is drop this poison pellet into the central baptismal font, and by noon this afternoon, everyone will be christened Barry. As soon as I press this button, Anne Boleyn will be a thing of the past.
Stop! Too late! I'm escaping in this round in a car that I had hidden inside a shark. I win, and you get pence. And I'm giving Marcus 11p, I'm giving Simon 12, I'm giving John 13p, and bringing up the lead again is Armando with 15p! And the next round is glittering, magical, and largely undeserved, seeing as it's concerned with awards. Who will win next year's Best Supporting Underwear Oscar? And which actor will win the prize for fetching a brick from the bottom of Dame Judi Dench whilst wearing pyjamas? Panel, I want you to share the thanks, the tears, and the long-winded acceptance speeches for a selection of lovely awards. If I can just get this envelope open here. Of course, Marcus Brigstock, step up to the podium.
Thank you very much for this. A wonderful surprise to have won the Steve Guttenberg Straight to Video Award. Who'd have thought that I, Guy Ritchie, would be up here? And may I just say, this award has given me the confidence to go on and make the same film again next year.
Congratulations. And now in reverse order, Peg Simon.
What can I say? Amazing as it is,
that I'm up here now. I'm lost for words. What can I say? England's most violent gypsy.
Any other categories we may have overlooked?
Well, I'm afraid I've lost the name of the category this award's for and who the nominees are. All I know is the winner is The Office.
What a wonderful surprise to have won the widest-faced entertainer, especially in the face of such stiff competition from Sophie Ellis-Bextor and Minnie Driver.
Wow, first of all. I honestly, I just didn't see this coming. And to get this award for Britain's most inept psychic is...
Moving swiftly on, we come to the Guild of Architects Award for Building of the Year, which goes to Ricky Gervais's office.
I just want to say thank you very much to the Academy for this award, the most dubious accent in a film.
The Booksellers Award for Fastest Selling Paperback goes to the bound photocopies of the prop waste paper in the waste paper baskets in the office.
What a fabulous honour to have won the award for Best Actor, particularly as I was playing someone who was either mentally or physically disabled, but with a lovely redeeming feature to make it acceptable. Of course, many of my contemporaries have paved the way. Tom Hanks in I May Be a Bit Simple, But I'm Very Fast at Running. Jeffrey Rush in I May Be a Jabbering Twit, But You Should Hear Me Play Piano. And, of course, Dustin Hoffman for Hook.
The best female international vocalist in a singing role in a non-British cartoon about anything other than offices goes to Ricky Gervais for The Office.
And that's enough. Stop. I'm afraid Madonna couldn't be here tonight to hand out the pence personally, but she did record this message for us.
99p challenge? What? Who are you?
Absolutely, and she's right to say that.
What fell off Madonna at the end of that? It just sounds like something fell off.
Some sort Guy of Ritchie. Body part.
Her future.
So at the end of that, let me award P. I'm going to give Armando 11p. I'm giving John 12. I'm giving Simon 13. And I'm giving Marcus 14 pence. It's your birthday. Excitedly, you open a gift and someone's got you one of those red letter days, which promises an exhausting opportunity to try something you never wanted to do. Sort of a proper present. They're exciting in different days out. Things like being pampered in a hot air balloon by a baby whale. Or driving a tank around Jamie Oliver's new restaurant. So what days out would our panel most like to embark upon? Simon?
Off-drive roading. Which, if you can't drive, they just put a little bit of an extension on your drive and you can go a bit further.
Never let me buy that one, I have to say. John?
I once got a voucher to drink some Sunny Delight, but you need 4 hours training for that.
And Amanda, what have you seen on offer?
I've been offered a free place on a drive a fire engine and put out fires on the day of a fireman's strike. Days.
OK, Marcus, surely you can offer me something even more lovely.
Yeah, no, I'm thrilled. I got a lovely present, which is to do a fight to some football fans. It basically involves exchanging pointless flying kicks with other fat bigots, and then the day ends with an exchange of plastic furniture and a keep-your-own-CCTV footage. So
all in package,
should
there.
Should be fun.
Yeah, OK, so any more?
I picked up a great leaflet. It said, feel the ultimate medieval rush as you ride your choice of hog to market.
Imagine my excitement on my birthday. I opened a thing. I got a £12 voucher for a trip to the moon. I have to make up the rest of it myself. But...
Have you ever been in one of those fill the audience for Kilroy mornings?
Ginger for a day. It's an eye-opener.
Have you ever been pampered by the Royal Marines? A friend of mine's a professional paintballer, and his girlfriend, as a Valentine's present, got him and his mates to go on one of those fat finance director's days.
I'd say know. Wild horses wouldn't drag me to any of those, because, of course, the wild horses adventure costs extra at the end of that round. Let me give out the final total of pence. I'm going to give Marcus 7p, John's getting 9 pence, Simon's got 12, and Amanda 14 pence. And that noise means that that was truly the last of all rounds. So let's calculate the cash and see who's tonight's winner of 99p. Bring up the rear with a very poor 55 pence. We've got Marcus and John. Second from top, it's Simon Pegg with a magnificent 61 pence. And bringing up the 8 pints of steroids that he drank in order to win, it's tonight's winner with a cracking 74 pence. It's Amanda Iannucci. Wow. Armando, you have got 74 pence. Yeah. That's a lot of money for someone like you. But imagine what life would be like if you had more, so much more, say, 99 pence. Are you willing to gamble what you've got for the big 0.99 pounds?
Yeah, I'll gamble. I'll gamble.
Right. Then let's play Find My Keys!
Find my keys! Find them, find them, find them, find them, find them!
Find them indeed. Here's the scenario. I can't find my keys. Without them, I can't lock the house, I can't start my car, I can't even launch a Trident missile from my nuclear submarine. It's made me flustered. You've got half a minute, Amanda, to help me find them by suggesting where I should look. Are you ready?
Yep.
Then let's go.
Are they in the pocket of your swimming trunks?
Let me just check. No, I don't have swimming trunks.
All right. Try the end of your arm.
OK. I've looked at the end of my arm. It's the first place
okay.
I went.
Under that rack of bombs.
OK.
No. Between the cooker and the electric chair.
No, I know. I've been there.
No, by the nest of dolphins.
Hang on, nest of dolphins.
Right, just think. Did you kill anyone with some keys last night?
Oh, hang on, let me think back. Just a machete. No keys.
No, OK. Have you looked up Peter Purvis?
I'm always looking up Peter Purvis. Hang on, just set Peter Budge up. Yes!
Yes!
Yes! You've won 99p! And that's all we've got time for. Catch me this week on Channel 4, where I'll be presenting Top 10 Numbers. Number 5 is at number 6. At 4 is 2. Minus 1 is at 3. 1 is at 2. And at number 1, it's... Well, you'll have to watch and see. Oh, OK, it's 12. Good night!
That was the 99p Challenge, presented by Sue Perkins with Armando Iannucci, Marcus Brigstock, John Holmes and Simon Pegg. It was written by Andy Riley, Kevin Cecil and John Holmes and produced by David Tyler. This was a positive production for the BBC.